All right, so my first question for you here is where do you hail from? Where are you from originally?
Okay, so I'm originally from New York City. Born and raised in Manhattan. Okay. And I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina 13 years ago.
13 years ago. Now, I saw your little post there that you were guest visiting the hood again. You were from Kips Bay or Kips?
Yeah, Kips Bay, yep.
Now, I'm from New York, but I'm familiar with that part of Manhattan because I used to go to the movie theaters there. I don't know if that theater was always there when you were growing up, but there was a place nearby called the Roadhouse, and we used to go in there and get some, I think it was bacon, jalapeno, wrapped with something else. I don't know. But I didn't know anybody that grew up there because I grew up in Brooklyn and then ended up in the Bronx. Were just visiting family or look? I mean, what made you go back, especially now with everything that's going on? I'd be afraid to go to Manhattan.
Visiting family, visiting mom, my sister, my nephews, and I'll be heading back out again this coming Saturday. So yeah, on Saturday, I'll be heading back.
And how'd you end up in North Carolina?
I just wanted a basic change. You know, New York City was getting pretty hectic, so I just needed a time and a place just to kind of go and retreat and find some peace and quiet. And I find a lot of peace and quiet here in North Carolina. And it's funny because over the past 13 years, I think I've had the most radical transformation in my life in North Carolina.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, I thought I was going to be in New York my whole entire life. Mm. So when I heard people were relocating long before anything, you know, going on now, they all went to PA. I noticed a lot of people went to PA.
Right.
I didn't hear nothing about it. Was either PA or Florida, those two places.
That's right.
I know a lot of people that went to North Carolina. So did you go on your own or you knew people?
Yeah. So on my own. So at first I looked at Florida. Oh. I looked at, I don't think I looked at PA, looked at Massachusetts. I was in Boston.
Was weather a factor in your decision at all?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, we definitely at the time wanted to get out of, you know, the cold weather and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so just found something here, you know. Okay. And yeah, that was the resting stop, if you will.
Now is Carolina a red state?
Carolina is a swing state.
Swing state, okay.
Yes.
I should know that, but this is all new to me. I'm interviewing you, not me, right? But it's all new to me this year. So when you went over there, were you involved in politics at all?
Not at all. I was more not on the all. Religious side. So I basically came down here for the Bible Belt culture.
Okay.
Yeah. Came down here more for the Bible Belt culture, more for the family culture. You know, at the time at the time I was married when I came down here. So, you know, was definitely more in the, you know, I was a family man at the time. Didn't have kids yet, but, you know, we had our first child here. And
You were looking for a quality of life. You had a family raising kids.
Mm-hmm. Quality of life. There you go.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, that's understandable.
Yeah.
So, social media, I'm reading off my questions here so I don't forget. Social media helped many conservatives. Do you consider yourself that, obviously, right?
Yes.
To connect with others during this pandemic. I know it's helped me. Sure. Were you always outspoken politically online? And in general, when did you get involved in politics?
That's a good question. Yes, I was never really outspoken politically. I was kind of more of a very private citizen.
Same here.
Very private. Funny. I didn't, you know, get into politics much, you know, growing up in, you know, Democrat run New York City. Didn't really pay much attention to it. Basically, what kind of caught my attention in terms of the change in New York was when Rudy Giuliani really began to clean up the city. And
were you
really
still in New York at that time?
Yeah, I was still in New York. Yep, still in New York. I believe I might have been in high school or going into college, either finishing high school, going into college, something like that. But anyway, the city just felt better. You know, it just felt good just to see the city being cleaned up. Still didn't pay much attention to politics. So when I got into the church several years ago, that's when I started paying attention a little bit more to like conservative issues. Well, you know, I grew up conservative. We just weren't, we never called it conservative.
Exactly.
you know, but, you know, everyone in my family, like my grandparents were married. My parents were married at one time. My father remarried. All my uncles, all my dad's brothers got married. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother remarried again. She was initially married to the first husband, you know, and then from where my dad came and then remarried again. So everybody was always getting married, especially on my father's side of the family. So I just saw that as the thing to do. You meet a girl, you marry her, even without all of the, it had nothing to do with religion or political philosophy, if you will. It was just something we did.
Simple. That's it was simple.
Yeah, it was simple. It was very simple.
I only knew what conservatives were this year. And before that, I just thought I was old school, if that makes any sense.
There you go. Yes, that's it.
And everything that was going on that I didn't know were part of identity politics, I just thought it was the signs of a modern age and that I had to get with the program, or at least I was told by people I needed to get with the program when I was hearing all these things going on. And like a friend of mine told me that at work, they were replacing all the bathroom signs to make them transgender friendly or whatever they want. And I said, but why can't it just say bathroom? I mean, I've seen many bathrooms that it's for men and women because you're not in there at the same time. It's just unisex or just a family room or whatever. But it's just this thing about how they want to make sure that they say, you know, that. And other things that, you know, were going on, like little boys getting their nails done and it being supposedly being okay. And I know it's like a minor thing, but just those are just things that I didn't understand that I thought, well, I guess I'm too old fashioned and I don't understand it. So whenever I would, you know, say my opinion, I always was the odd man out. And it wasn't until the politics and stuff that I realized, oh, there's other people that think like me. Most notably, the famous woman, Candace Owens. She was saying things that I thought about and I thought, oh, I didn't know that other people even thought that now or would even say it, you know? So it's funny you say that you didn't know about it either. You were just, you grew just up a certain way and it was.
You just grew up and that was it. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Now, what I'm finding is that, okay, Trump supporters are not necessarily Republican or conservatives, right? They could be libertarian, which is another thing I learned about this year. Some are even Democrats, but are moderate, so they don't align themselves with the socialist stuff that's going on in their own party.
Right.
So when you became politically active, well, I guess that goes to my question from before. You just, you started waking up a little bit in church, seeing some things that didn't align.
Yeah, that's a good question. So basically, everything in church, I saw more from a spiritual standpoint. Good versus evil, righteousness versus sin, or wickedness, that kind of thing. So I kind of saw everything through that paradigm. I was it's interesting, even before going into the church, I was always pro-life. So even at as early as 16 years old, I felt that I was always pro-life, pro-marriage, even before getting into the church.
And that's a sticky point for so many people. They don't want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
I would always get into fights with girls in my law class, in fact, about
women's rights,
abortion, women's rights, and whatever. This is my body, and you can't tell me.
And that was the identity politics that I didn't know about even when I was in college.
So that's always been.
So from 16 years old, you know, you think that abortion is wrong. Let's just say I'm thinking for you now, and then you're like, but the Democrats support abortion. Wait a minute. Right. So that's like a wake up call.
Yeah. So being in the church, so it's funny because I didn't even really see the whole Democrat Republican dichotomy until the summer. That's when I really started to pay attention. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Did you vote before this though?
I was a registered Republican.
Oh, okay.
So I was a registered Republican. My story is it's different from
interesting.
A lot of.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was a registered Republican when I came to North Carolina 13 years ago. I was definitely a Republican in my mind in New York City, or conservative. I don't recall ever being registered as a Democrat. I just don't recall it.
You were on the books, but you weren't active.
I was on the books. I voted because...
Did you vote for Obama?
I did not.
Oh, interesting. Almost everyone has, myself included.
I didn't vote for Obama. I voted for his all the opponents, the Republican
McCain opponents. And Romney.
Correct.
Okay, look at that. Wow. So you're a unicorn in that sense, only because most people who came into politics realizing that they were, you know, a conservative, whatever, did at some point, you know, root for Obama and all that and thought it meant something.
It's funny. Because I was more of a single rights voter, because again, it became down to the pro-life. He was against abortion. I was like, I can't vote for him.
That was whoever had that issue was your deal breaker.
Yeah, that was the deal breaker. Now, I was proud when he was actually, inaugurated and he took office. I was proud on that particular day. I watched the inauguration on TV.
But you felt like you did your part, but you weren't hating on the man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, he's charismatic. Yeah. I mean, he's a smooth talker. I didn't think nothing negative about him at all in the beginning. I mean, because I wasn't into, you know, policies or anything like that. Just like everyone else, I just took everything at face value, who I thought was the good guy, who I was told was a good guy, and what the other side was. Now, it's interesting to me that you were always Republican, because then you've been the odd man out from day one, because, you know, in your circles, you were always the unicorn then, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah. So the thing is, so as a Republican, I was never a full out like liberal, but I wasn't necessarily the, at one time I was, you could call a holy roller. Then I went through a season in my life where I wasn't a holy roller anymore. And I kind of, you know, I went out and hung out and drank and that kind of thing. And
The Amish do it. And then they come back if they want to come back.
So I did all that stuff. So like I said, it didn't really dawn on me in terms of the political significance of my decision of becoming a Republican 13 years ago, not until really this year. Like, so for example, in the church, it was the sinners, or it was the ACT UP homosexual groups. It was the wicked people. Mm-hmm. It was the unsaved. It was the ungodly. It was the wicked. That's what we called the Democrats. That's what we called the liberals. We didn't call them Democrats and liberals. We called them the wicked and the unrighteous. And that's what we called them, the sinners.
Which is interesting to me, because there's a big, big history of the church with the Democrats. All the civil rights leaders and all of them, they're Democrats. I mean, they're all like Baptists, and they're all still, you know, church going, which is the problem that a lot of people have. They say you can't possibly be Christian and you go along with that, and, you know, the other. But I guess your religion was more traditional and more strict, or more Bible based.
Exactly. I was definitely, so I was more Pentecostal, evangelical.
Oh yes, they don't play.
We were kind of really colorblind to a large degree. We didn't really talk a lot about race. Oh, it was really more about sin, the unrighteousness, Jesus Christ versus Satan.
Yes.
That was our dichotomy. It was never really about race. Mm-hmm. Luckily, where I went to church, I would say it was truly colorblind. And if anybody had anything, you know, it was very hidden, because the preacher, I will say, he did, you know, talk, you know, he would preach against, you know, hatred of your brother and that kind of thing and all that stuff. So it was really, we lived in a kind of colorblind utopia.
They spoke of racism as a sin. And I remember when I was growing up, even though not Pentecostal, but also strict upbringing, another story, but the only thing that separated our congregations was language. If you were predominantly Spanish speaking, you went to the Spanish congregation, and if you spoke English, that's it, you know. But it wasn't about race,
right? Interesting. So
that makes sense to me. Now, do you think that the GOP, because that's like their old name, right, the Grand Old Party, that they need an overhaul, that they're not as tenacious like the liberals? Because I used to think, okay, so liberals are the modern thinkers, whatever. But what I didn't know was that they, you know, they have so many grassroots organizations. They also have different types of, you know, if they're in teaching and they're in these unions and these institutions, then they have like more access to the people, and also the type of jobs that let them, you know, be able to, I guess, dedicate their time to that. Whereas the Republicans, I guess, you know, you either one or you're not, but they're not. Like, I heard like a lot of the problem with this issue with this election was that they're notorious, the Democrats are, for ballot harvesting. that they go to people's homes and they collect those votes. And the Republicans don't. So, and another thing, I never really knew that they were conservatives that were, you know, of all nationalities and backgrounds, because that's not what the media portrays. So the first time I came across them, they, you know, was like, what? I was confused. Like, if I saw them with a flag or with a MAGA hat or whatever, I'm like, what am I looking at? Because I didn't think any black people supported Trump or that party, right? It's so ridiculous, but that is what I thought. And so now that I see people like you and others, and we're all talking about it, and clearly, you know, we're not white. So we might be the new crop that they need, because I feel that they don't, you know, they'll protest and riot all day long. And we're just like, you know, like, we're not happy with what's going on, but it is what it is. If it was the other way, we already know, right? The things would be upside down. So I don't know if you think that, if you even want to be bothered with that, you have a life. Like they say, you know, we can't protest because we have responsibilities. We have so much more to lose. Whereas a lot of the liberals are like the young people, maybe living with their parents or tenured professors, you know. So I don't really know what's my question about that. But I guess, are you disappointed in them or how they handle things? Like, are we going to, are the Dems the majority, you know? We're outnumbered.
That's a good question.
I feel like.
I feel that over the years that the Democrats are now have now become the party of the elite, and the Republicans are now becoming the party of the
people.
Working man.
All of a sudden, we're the people for the people.
We're the right. Yeah, exactly.
Weird.
So I do. So I believe that this needs to definitely be an electrifying, like an electrifying of the Republican Party. The Republican Party needs to undergo some type of metamorphosis, if you're a social metamorphosis, if it's going to see itself becoming effective. And I think it's already taking place, especially, you know, within certain sectors of minority communities like African-Americans, Latinos. So I'm thinking that they will be kind of like that galvanizing force for resurrecting the Republican Party, or just even changing it into something completely different.
Now, so that reminds me, you said that you were conservative and you didn't, you know, you weren't thinking too much about politics, but do you also consider yourself a patriot? Like, did you have the patriotism piece, or that's just because they also lump that into the Republican?
That is true. So, okay. So the whole, let's see. So
like, are you flying flags? Is that your thing?
Well, I fly flags now, but I didn't fly flags when I was 18.
Yeah. That's funny.
So, you know, I fly a flag now, hang a flag out from my balcony now. Mm-hmm. I have a flag of a flag bumper sticker on my car. But at one time, and sometimes I wish I was more, had been more patriotic as a young person, because I think if I had been patriotic, I would have joined the military, I believe. I probably would have went into the armed forces, you know, but at the time growing up in liberal New York, being around a lot of identity politics philosophies in school and that kind of thing, liberal policies and liberal philosophies, and, you know, the pro-black movement, all that stuff, especially in hip hop, that influenced my thinking a lot to be un-American or anti-American.
You know,
so there was so as a kid, I would stand for the pledge, I would stand for the national anthem and all that thing. But there was a point in my life when I would go to public events when I didn't stand for the flag because I felt, because of the narrative that I was hearing from pop culture, that America wasn't for me.
Yeah, it became a symbol of a sudden of racism and, you know, like a terrible thing, which I find is so odd, because, you know, the same people that love identity politics, you know, they want you to identify yourself down to the last nook and cranny, I say, you know, I have to say I'm a woman, I'm Hispanic, I'm this, I'm that, my pronouns are blah, blah, blah. But the one thing they don't want you to use to identify yourself is a flag. And every country does. That's a symbol of your, every country has a flag to identify. So you know where you are or where it is, and you can't go there, and you can't disparage it, and you can't burn it, and you can't diss it. So I don't understand why they do that here, even if we weren't pro, you know, patriotic growing up, because like you said, that I feel like that cloud of oppression, that that thing that they were always trying to ingrain, you know, like, we're never gonna make it because blah blah blah, it was always there. So yeah, you feel like, oh, America sucks even back then. that's what I think the youth is doing now, but they've been amped up big time.
You know,
that same thing, life sucks, you know, blah, blah. You know, it sucks to be here. So we had that too, to a degree, because I know what you're saying. It was like corny when they played the anthem, or you thought, oh, this is like, you know, the founding fathers. But little do we know what that really meant, the Constitution and how it protected us and all that. Sure. So that makes sense. I'm just curious, you know, because everyone is not a conservative. Everyone's not a. Everyone's not patriotic. They just don't want you to mess with their free speech, or, you know, like you said, they have their one issues and that's what matters. So that brings me to my next question. So what exactly is your background nationality, if you want to play identity?
Yeah. So my mother, my mother is African-American and my father's Puerto Rican. Both both were born and raised in New York City on the Lower East Side. They kind of grew up around each other.
Yep.
Yeah, my mom was about maybe 3 years older than my dad at the time. I mean, still is technically.
Did they meet at church?
They met, I think they just met kind of, so my mom went to school with my dad's one of my dad's older brothers. They were in the same class, I think, and then they all kind of ran together growing up in the you know, growing up in the around the way, that kind of thing, and then they just finally linked up.
And little did we know, we were all black and brown people.
right
the new term. Goodness gracious. Okay. You get it though, right?
Yeah, I do.
Also now the new brown is like the whole immigrant thing, which is another topic. All right, so now that we're talking about race, do you see Trump as a dictator, racist, neo-Nazi? Have you ever? Why not? That was a great conversation with Silas. Stay tuned for part two to find out the answer to that question and more. You know what to do. Like, share, and subscribe. It's up to you. Ciao for now. When I count to three, I want you to tell me what Trump says about mainstream media. What does he call it? Uno, dos, tres. Fake news. Like that.
Fake news.
All right, I'm going to count to three, and then we say it at the same time, okay? Uno, dos, tres. Fake news. All right. Well, this was a pleasure.
Fake news.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
It was, Sonia. Thanks for having me on.